Everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with LaVon. Happy Friday. It is an amazing day, isn't it not? We've had some crazy weather all over the country. It's raining in my hometown, which means I could not be happier. A couple days ago, I planted over like 100 little seed babies, so they're happy right now, which means I'm happy right now. Now's the time to garden, guys. I encourage you to do so. If you're afraid that you don't have enough space or you don't know what you're doing, you don't need a lot of space. You need soil. Sometimes you don't even need soil. You can do things hydroponically in your kitchen on the counter. You can recycle plastic bottles. And if you want some seeds and you don't have any, here's what you got to do. Listen up. Send me an email to turn love on. The word turn, the word love, the word on @gmail.com. I have a seed bank of non-GMO seeds, and I will share them with you. All you have to do is email me. Looking forward to hearing from you guys, and I can help you with any questions you may have about gardening. I'm on year 4 of gardening. I love it. It's so good. My grandpa kept a garden when I was a little girl, and he didn't understand the importance and the significance. He was literally growing his health. So I hope to achieve the same and teach that, perpetuate it to my community. So thanks for being here with me, guys. Our show is now Monday through Friday. We try to balance out the week's news on Fridays with a little bit of information in regards to health. More importantly, how you can utilize that information to empower yourself. This world's crazy, and the only way it's going to change is if you do. And the only one who can change you is you. And the only way you can change is if you have knowledge, right? Knowledge is power. So thank you again. We've had a really interesting week in news. There's been a lot going on in the world besides weather. We've got a really awesome article up on the website. You guys can read along with me. It's on theantimedia.org. And you're joining this program on UCY.tv. I'm so proud to be here. This is a great network. It's been sustaining my fun time for a couple years now. And there's a lot of excellent programs on the show. One of my buddies, Liam Sheff, make sure you check him out. He has a lot. That man's like an encyclopedia. You should hear the two of us talk. We have talked on the program, actually, and I'm sure there's an archive of that. You should check that out. We talked a lot about gardening on that program. More importantly, how to save water during the drought. And don't be afraid that we're in a drought. There are ways that you can keep a garden and do so successfully without utilizing a bunch of water. So don't let that be a deterrent to you. If anything, more now than ever, we need to grow our own food so that we can spend less energy shipping it across the country. It's time to localize things, guys. Like, we don't need to go to a store to buy these things. We can make them ourselves. So we'll get more into gardening later. The article I want to read to you guys is called, excuse me, 5 stories you missed while Tom Brady's balls consume the news cycle. Kudos to whoever thought of that title. It's glorious. So let me take a drink before I get into this one. I have a feeling I'm going to laugh a lot. But this is so typical of our existence, is it not? Well, something is important is occurring. We're often literally consumed by some hogwash that's being fed to us. So let's see what we missed, you guys. This one's by Nick Burnaby. He wrote this today. He says, by now, everyone and their mom is aware that Tom Brady probably knew about Super Bowl balls being deflated to give to the Patriots. Being deflated to give the Patriots an unfair advantage in the big game. Despite the balls to the wall news, despite the balls to the walls news coverage, Tom Brady's knowledge of these malinflated pigskins will not have an effect on your daily life. But there are 5 big stories which we covered at the Anti-Media this week that could have major implications for your life and the world. Listen up, guys. This is important. One American town is taking a big step towards ending the drug war. A small town in Massachusetts is taking an enormous step towards the peaceful resolution of the failed drug war. Police Chief Leonard Campanello of Gloucester announced this week that starting June 1st of this year, any addict who walks into the police station with the remainder of their drug equipment, needles, etc., or drugs, and asks for help will not be charged. Instead, we will walk through the system towards detox and recovery. You can read the real story here. I'm actually going to read that story to you. You know, you love me reading to you. It's wonderful. Enjoy. So, one American town is taking a big step towards ending the drug war. This was covered by us earlier in the week on the 6th. Carrie wrote this one. Check it out. So, when people walk in, they're going to be offered the chance to be assisted and healed. Those who come to the department would be assigned an angel on the spot and help them through the process. The department will then refer them to a local clinic. The statement made in a Facebook post has received widespread praise for its approach to drug addiction. Campanello, a former narcotics officer, also stated that, "I have arrested or charged many addicts and dealers. I have never arrested a tobacco addict, nor have ever seen one turned down for help when they develop lung cancer, whether or not they have insurance. The reason for the difference in the care between a tobacco addict and an opiate addict is stigma and money. Petty reasons to lose a life." Oh my gosh, that's so profound. Campanello did not mention the many lives lost due to officers who use excessive force against those found with drugs, which is really important too. However, it goes without saying that by reducing criminal charges, the new policy may help reduce this type of violence as well. Campanello will travel to Washington, D.C. on May 12 to 13 to meet with Senators Elizabeth Warren, Ed Markey, and Congressman Seth Moulton to discuss his new strategy. He hopes to gain federal support and aid for this new approach to treating drug addiction. Campanello said, "I will bring the idea of how far Gloucester is willing to go to fight this disease. Addiction is a disease," I may insert there, "and we'll ask them to hold federal agencies, insurance companies, and big business accountable for building a support system that can eradicate opiate addiction and provide long-term sustainable support to reduce recidivism. Among the other things, he will ask the federal government that police be allowed to keep more money seized from drug dealers in order to fund treatment for addicts." That's an interesting angle there. While many disagree with the notion of officers holding confiscated funds, this still represents a better use of money than personal enrichments at the hands of innocent citizens, also known as civil asset forfeiture. As he told local news station WCVB, "We wanted the police department to be one of the safe havens that you can walk in when you are ready. And we don't want to waste that moment when the addict is ready. We made a conscious decision here that we're done with the addict being criminally charged for the offense of an addiction. We're going to take that extra step and make sure they get the treatment they need." In 2011, almost half of all prisoners in America were there for drug-related offenses, demonstrating the excessive, ineffective criminal punishment that Campanella wants to reduce. He acknowledged further that police are unable to stop the supply of opiates and such, and it would rather work to reduce its demand. And it should be noted that legal opiates kill far more people than illegal ones. So the policy does not appear to apply to individuals found in possession of drugs on the street. But Anti-Media has contacted Mr. Campanello to clarify and will update this article if and when he responds. Even if it does not apply, the program should be praised and promoted for its willingness to help addicts when they make the conscious choice to make a change. It represents a productive step in forming new attitudes towards addiction and the drug war. As one former heroin addict and Gloucester Christian Mickey told WCVB, "There's a chance that this can save one life, can save one family, and that's all that matters." Though the new policy only applies to one small town, its positive reception is a powerful sign that if it is successful, it may inspire change in the way police deal with drug addiction across the country. I'm literally tingling all over. I hadn't seen this article yet. And that's flippin' awesome! I love it! I'm a community outreach director for a nonprofit, and I work locally with holistic doctors in my town, and I help educate the public about the importance and the power behind maintaining and preventing disease, like maintaining the body as a means to prevent disease, which is highly possible and very practical. But the problem is our society is backwards. It literally is backwards. So to hear that that town is taking positive steps and being preventative in the sense that it wants to keep people out of jail, which is just a cycle of despair. It really truly is. We have to not act out of reaction, because that's how the universe works, right? Action, reaction. But what happens when you see an action and you ponder? What happens? You can change your reaction. So I applaud that town. That is so amazing, and that's gonna be it's gonna be huge. Butterfly effect is a real thing, and I'm praying that other people take note of that. So if you haven't heard about that and you think it's awesome, you guys should tell people. That's kind of a big deal. So number two on this list is the Federal Appeals Court rules NSA collection data is illegal. Are you flipping kidding? How amazing is that? Did you guys, first of all, did you even know that your data is being collected? Some people think that that's outrageous. Let me read this to you. A federal appeals court ruled Thursday that the indiscriminate collection of phone data conducted quietly by the National Security Agency before it was exposed by the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden is illegal. A three-judge panel from the Second Circuit, is what I tried to say, U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that the NSA program broadly collecting phone records of Americans exceeds the scope of what Congress has authorized. So let's go on to the whole story, which is also at theantimedia.org, because we're awesome. Give me just a moment, guys, while this loads. You guys are free to call in. The phones are available. The number is 1-718-717-8296. I'd love to talk to you guys, and I look forward to when you call me. You can ask me anything. Creepers are welcome too. I won't be mean to you tonight, I promise. Okay, so this was from Annabelle Bamforth. She wrote this on May 7th, which was yesterday. So a federal appeals court stated that the indiscriminate collection of phone data collected by the NSA is wrong, right? So this ruling, written by Circuit Judge Gerald Lynch, states that the text of Section 215 of the Patriot Act, which the government claimed authorizes bulk metadata collection, cannot bear the weight the government asks us to assign to it, and that it does not authorize the telephone metadata program. The text of the entire ruling is available here. The link is inside the article, guys. You can check it out. The ruling was written following an appeal from the plaintiffs, including the ACLU, who had filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the collection and claimed violation of privacy. The appeal followed a dismissal by U.S. District Judge William Pauley in December 2013. The court's decision avoided the issue regarding the program's constitutionality. Section 215 of the Patriot Act is set to expire on June 1st. The House Judiciary Committee approved the U.S. Freedom Act on April 30th, which claims to end bulk data collection. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell introduced a bill earlier in April that would extend Section 215 for 5 more years. So, what do you guys think about that? Do you think the government should be collecting data on a mass scale and searching through your most private things to see if you're a terrorist? They're a terrorist. And how about in regards to law of attraction, you're creating terror by looking so intently for it? So energy goes where attention flows. Are we not creating terrorists by saying we live in a land of terror? I'm sorry, but you're terrorizing peaceful people by making them think that they live in a world full of terror. That's just the way I think about it. Something pretty profound, you guys, if you haven't heard about this chalk names that have been written in Baltimore. So last week, an artist in Baltimore began writing the names of fatal victims from the police force on the sidewalk. She began with the victims killed on May 1st of 2013 and wrote every name that was recorded until present day. Names stretch from Penn Station to a George Washington monument in the middle of the city, which is nearly a mile away. There's a video embedded in the article, you guys, if you want to watch the entire story. But that's pretty important, don't you think? I mean, I've been doing a lot of research because I'm trying to evade paying registration and having a driver's license. And I came across some pretty interesting information, you guys. I really times four encourage you to go online, like right now, to YouTube and just type in. What did I type in last night? What's it called? Affidavit of Truth. Look into that. The definition of a driver's license is one who is driving with the intention of conducting commerce or trade. Like in there, they want to run a business. If you're privately traveling as a sovereign individual in the nation in which you were born, that is your right. That is your birthright. That's not a constitutional right. That's your birthright. You have a right to travel in your country. So we don't have to necessarily have a driver's license or pay registration. There are loopholes. And if you know the law, you guys could take advantage of this. We're getting a call, you guys. Let's go ahead and answer this. Hey, how you doing? This is LaVon. What can we talk about? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, it's LaVon. How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm fine. This is the
Who is this?
this is the radio show, right?
Barry?
Who is this?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't hear your name. What's your name?
This is Tyshawn.
Oh, Tyshawn. How's it going, dude?
Hey, it's going.
Good. So you called in tonight. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about actually the events that's been going on in Baltimore. I found it kind of ironic that the bail that was set for the officers that was locked up for the arrest of Freddie Gray. You hear what I'm saying so far?
I can hear you just fine. I'm listening.
All right, cool. I found it weird that the officers that were locked up for Freddie Gray's arrest due to a spinal injury, that they only their bail was only set for $300,000 or $30,000, I believe, over $30,000, and the officers as a group and in our station wrote a union to make sure his bail was only set, or the officers' bail was only set at least 30 grand. And I found it ironic that one parent whose son was in that riot, his bail is set at 500,000, a half a million dollars.
Are
I found
you?
that,
Yeah.
yeah, I just found it something weird. Yeah, that's all.
You know, it is something. Weird is a good word. I would choose the word. What's the best word to describe that? Outrageously disgusting. It's just like the most crude slap in the face to the public. It's like, let's see how dumb these people are. You know what I mean? It's like, how
Exactly.
much more of this crap? It's bureaucracy. Like, they're all in each other's butts. Get out of each other's butts. Like, I understand you're in a brotherhood and you guys are bros and you're gonna take care of each other. But
Exactly.
you are supposed to be taking care of your community with integrity and honor.
Exactly.
How dare those people manipulate their power?
Exactly.
It infuriates me, dude. Like, I have a term, I call it compassionate. It's like when you're compassionate and you're pissed off. They make me freaking compassionate to like a level that's almost intolerable.
Exactly. And it's
So,
funny because, yeah, but I'm sorry.
no, go ahead. I want to hear you.
No, it's just like their job, just like you said, is to protect and serve. So, what is this? Their job isn't to shoot people. Their job is to protect people, and it seems like they're having a gunfight and, you know, range fight instead of actually protecting the city.
I've got a little insider perspective in regards to the police force. I have family members who were prison cops for their entire career. I used to date a man who did transport from the police station to the jail. So, and I would, and we dated for like 3 years, and I would talk to him every night when he was doing this job. So I was like, I was there, you know what I mean? And him and I were intimate. So, you know, he would tell me about work and the types of social situations. And I got to tell you, between having family members who are corrections officers and between dating a guy who did that job, going on ride-alongs, I exercise my right as a citizen to supervise the police. You know, you could do that. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a felony and you have a valid ID, you can go to the police station and say, hey, I want to go on a ride-along. And it's your right to ride along in a police car. You get to do everything they get to do. You get to get out of the car when there are traffic stops. The only thing that I think is prohibited is, like, if there's a high-speed chase, you obviously, for liability, can't be involved. Because one time somebody got killed in that type of situation. But the perspective that I'm trying to demonstrate is that I've seen how they breed each other. And I got to tell you, they don't want the men with the sharpest IQ. My dad is a genius, not going to lie. My dad applied to the police station on several occasions, and he would do great. My dad applied for the police as well as corrections, and he would do great on every physical test. Like, he was bodybuilder, and he's got a really high IQ, but they would get him on the psychological aspect, in the sense that my dad was not an asshole. He did not meet the psychological requirements to fit the ideal persona of a police officer. They want somebody with a narrow... No, I'm serious. My dad is the most just, fair man you'll ever meet. And he's just, like, he makes very conscious decisions. And they want people who are violently bred, who are unconscious in their power preaching. They want this type of person who's kind of perpetuating fear. You know, they look for a personality type. In
now, well, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I do have one question. Do you believe that? And I don't want to change this at all into a race conversation at all.
Not at all.
Just a question. Just a question. Do you believe that these cops are told to target a certain demographic group, and we both know who we're talking about, the African American groups, who are in these urban neighborhoods, who really do not have these protections. And the reason why that a lot of these urban kids who do carry protection is to, again, the word itself, to protect themselves, not necessarily to cause harm to anyone. I myself don't live in an urban neighborhood, but I do from living there way back when to now, I can see, for years they've been saying that, you know, even the book 1984, I don't know if you've read it, former FBI or CIA agent wrote that book, and he explained how the FBI flooded and admitted flooding the, a lot of African American neighborhoods with drugs. So do you believe that these cops are told to target these demographic groups because of the stereotypes that have been, you know, talked about? Or do you feel like it's everybody as a whole? Because we already know that the African Americans in America has always been targeted. And, you know, not saying just them, but, you know.
Oh, no.
It's been on them. It's like Caucasians been on their ass, you know, for a while. Not only Caucasians, but many races. So just your opinion on that, that's all.
Honestly, I would say, as an objective individual who is able to see the entire picture, well, let's look at the number of African Americans in jail. What's the percentage versus all other races? It's very extreme in regards to the ratios. So based on that statistic alone, I'm going to without a doubt say yes. And here's the thing. If you are trained to look for a certain thing, look, I work in a healing center and I'm a community outreach director. I talk to thousands of people a week about the power of the mind and intention, and I literally see hundreds of people a week heal themselves by believing that they can and empowering them in the tools and the knowledge to do it. So with that profound knowledge of the power of the mind, okay, apply that to a police officer who's been bred in fear, who's quote-unquote part of a brotherhood. They're usually insecure. They usually have some sort of military background, so they already have this type of, like, industrialized thinking patterns. And I'm not dogging anyone in the military. I'm just saying it's a type of job that one acquires with a certain type of personality. I'm not saying it's wrong or right, okay? I'm just stating objectively what happens.
Nobody
take offense, please. Or do take offense and call me and tell me I'm wrong. That could be fun, too. So,
I'm just kidding.
So you have these people who in their minds believe that quote-unquote black people are doing bad things. So if they have this notion, they're therefore going to create that notion. Are they not? Mm-hmm. If I say I'm going to win the jackpot tonight, like, hey, let me tell you a story. I've been winning the lottery every week for like 6 months or more. And I've been meditating on that all day, every day. I'm going to win the lottery. I've been creating that reality. But I wasn't specific. I didn't say, I want to win the jackpot. So, words are powerful. And if they're assuming that this certain demographic of people is without a doubt involved in this type of behavior and crimes, they're essentially creating that. And you can't argue with me that a person of color doesn't feel that prejudice, and they haven't felt that prejudice, as it's literally in their DNA for multiple generations within the confounds of this country. What a sad existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's just weird to me. I don't know that even after the FBI admitted it, you know, there was no reparations at all. I mean, reprimations for them whatsoever. You know, they was not reprimanded. Even cops who, just like these cops that are in jail, who might even get released, they're not going to even get reprimanded for what exactly they've done. I mean, yes, they are in prison, but let's look at the reality real quick, because you said something about meditating on a certain issue. You said that, right?
Oh, yeah. Usually on Friday nights, I talk to you guys about health-related topics, and we have several recorded meditations, because that's how you reclaim your power. Nobody took away your power. It's in there. You just have to acknowledge it. And meditation is such a beautiful way to do such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, it's a little different because with these group of people, there are people I'm referring to, I'm calling, of course, Africans. It's a little different with these groups because it's a little more complex. You see, these group of people, African Americans, were taken out of and had their culture taken and language taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they came here and, you know, I don't want to say stole them, and let's say it in a nice way. It's not like they
were imported.
Liberated the land, you know? It's like they're only important to help out the land, and then they weren't exactly freed, you know? They were technically still enslaved like they are now. And even the, I believe the 14th Amendment or 13th Amendment, one of those state that you're not really a slave until you're in prison. And the majority of Africans who are in prison... Yeah, majority of people who are in prison are Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And when the DEA and the CCA work together, the DEA working for drugs, CCA, you know, working for the correctional facilities, when they work together, they are working together to enslave Africans again. So it's a little more complex than that. Like,
well,
you don't believe that it's a little more complex?
Well, here's the thing. It's all a business, man. Mm-hmm. this whole country is a business, and anyone who
True.
says otherwise isn't aware of what's actually going on yet. And I've been doing ample, ridiculous amounts of research, treating hours of sleep for, what year is this? for at least 15 years straight. I have been doing nothing but research for at least 15 years straight. And that is why I'm convinced more than ever that the only way to take back your power truly, truly, truly is not to focus on all of these problems that are in the world. Yes, it's good to be aware of them and go, that is not something I agree with, and how am I going to make sure that I don't have that occur again? We got to go, bam, and we got to solve the problem. We need to stop focusing on the subproducts, and we need to attack the product, not the reaction. What is the cause of all these problems? We've got people everywhere who are running around essentially masterless because they don't feel like they are capable of being if they don't have a government. What happens if you empower people within their being? Right? What happens when you empower people within their being? You have a bunch of me running around going, F you, I know better. You know? And like, that's what I try to do. But here's the thing, pal, is you can't say to somebody, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. Nobody wants to hear that. So you have to live by example, and you have to be a human. I'm going to tell you a story of exactly what I mean. Yesterday, I got so pissed off. Somebody lied to me. Somebody lied to me. They were deceitful. You know, they didn't tell me something, but they didn't necessarily lie to me, but they went out of their way not to tell me something. That was very hurtful. And I found out about it from a friend. And I called this person and I said, you better sit down. And he said, why? And I said, because I'm furious and you're about to get it. I'm so mad. And I call him and I said, this is how I'm feeling. You know, I'm having an emotion. I'm having a reaction. And he and I literally threw adult fits. I let that shit move through me and I cry and I yell and I kick things. And I don't give a shit where I am. I'll be out in public. I was standing in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And people were just watching me throw this fit. And I'm like, I don't like the way this makes me feel. And it's not okay. And I got it out. I just got it out. And he listened. Yeah. He listened and I was crying, not just pouring down my face. And everyone around me was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm being a human. And life is not easy. And I'm having an experience. And I'm letting this shit move through me. And guess what? In 5 minutes, I'm going to be smiling and everything's going to be fine. And people were just so amazed that I'm having this like human experience right there, and I give no fucks about who is watching me. You know what I mean? Like, and that was so powerful for me, just to be in my emotion and feel it and let it move through me, and to do so in such an like open manner is powerful. And I didn't have to sit back and tell anybody, this is how you should behave, because we're all experiencing this life. And every time you look at something and you ponder it, there's a chemical reaction within your body. And if you don't literally process that chemical, you know what happens to it? It gets stored. Why do you think people get knots in their muscles? Why do you think people's bodies degrade over time? That's a vibration. That's a negative vibration that they are holding on to. And I know this within the core of my being. Because when I teach people that, their whole life changes.
One question also. One more, actually, because I don't want to hold up your time. I know you have, like, a whole bunch of, like...
Hey, this is our time. You know why? Because nothing else right now exists but this moment. Because that is what we are observing. This is all that is right now. You understand?
Right.
This is right now. This is all that ever is right now. So where should this be now?
Well, one question I want to ask you, and it's a little bit more personal. It's about me, of course. I had, well, you see, me and my ex, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been going back and forth for like 4 years now.
Okay.
And you know, you're a girl, so I'm pretty sure you would know, you know.
Oh man, I'm so, totally a girl.
But yeah, you know, we've been going back and forth for 4 years. We recently broke up in January of this year. Usually it takes about 6 months to get over a breakup, but seeing as though we've been going back and forth for 4 years, and me and her best friend aren't like talking like sexually or anything like that, but you know, I knew her best friend before I knew my girlfriend. So her best friend sometimes would be like, hey, what's up? She has a boyfriend, so it ain't nothing like that, like, you know. So sometimes she would hit me up like, hey, you know, and, you know, I'll be like, hey, what's up? You know, I'll be coming off of work. And she'll be saying that, oh, you know, she misses you, this, this, and that, but she's afraid to go back out with you. Now, no one cheated. No one got into any physical altercation. It was more so a verbal altercation. I didn't call her a B, you know, or anything like that. It's something, you know. But anyway, I was just thinking, like, we've been going back and forth for 4 years. Do you think, and I don't know, I think she still misses me. Do you believe that something will happen, or do you think I should hit her up, or I shouldn't hit her up? Should I just leave it the way it is?
No. I'm going to tell you something so beautiful, okay? I was driving here tonight to the studio, and I said to the universe, I know someone's going to call me tonight, and I know I'm going to change their life. I said that. I proclaimed it. And I had this idea in my mind of what they needed to hear. Because I'm very intuitive. I listen to the universe. And I just know things, okay?
And, yeah, exactly.
And this changed my life. And I'm still learning it. And I've been wanting to share it with the network for about 6 months now. But it is literally the most profound thing that I have ever learned as a human, beyond anything, beyond being a mother, beyond being a healer, beyond being a psychic, beyond being anything, beyond being all these amazing things that happened to me. This is the most amazing thing I've ever learned. And I've been taking my time with it because it puzzles me to an extent that is profound. Okay?
That's
so
special.
We're all special. So I want to talk to you first about what is a relationship, okay?
Okay.
You're an energy being. Like, you have 30 trillion cells in your body, and every single one of those cells has a feeling, you know? It has an energy, an emission. So you're those compressed into this beautiful mass of creation, okay? And your body emits a force field of up to, like, 18 feet. It's really amazing. And the girl you love, she's the same, okay? And the reason you two are attracted to each other is because you share a vibration. Your cells vibrate at a certain way. You know, when you're attracted to somebody, you literally can feel them, right?
And, one more input before you finish. Just one more input.
Okay,
like,
okay.
When we kiss, it feels like the first time every time.
Oh,
I'm not the
dude.
Only.
Dude, okay, I'm gonna change your life. You're gonna get married.
Hold on. But like, I'm not the only one who said that. Like, she told me. Like, she was the first one to tell me, and I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to look like, you know, some punk guy. Like, you know, it feels like the first time. I didn't want to look like that.
Mm.
Hey, go ahead. I'll let you go.
Okay. So she is the same way, right? And earlier when you said it takes so much time to get over somebody, no.
Yeah.
Scratch that shit. There's no freaking parameter on how long it takes you to feel what you feel, bro. It took me 10 or 15 minutes to throw my adult fit yesterday, but that's because I'm like a super like emotion ninja, and I'm like always meditating on my emotions and being like present in my body and like working on that, like constantly meditating on that, you know? When you feel everything, you have to be aware of how you're feeling all the time, or you lose your damn mind. Like, there's a reason that the universe gave me this ability, so I have to be a ninja or I can't do it. Anyways, there's something called nonviolent communication, a language of life by Marshall B. Rosenberg. I'm going to say it again. Nonviolent communication, a language of life by Marshall B. Rosenberg. Please, okay. Please download that. Please find it and listen to it. Cancer only happens because cells miscommunicate. You and this girl, without a doubt, I think love each other a whole lot. But you guys just got to find a common ground. I miscommunicate all the time with people, and I literally get paid to talk. I have 5 different jobs, and every single one of them pays me to talk. And
that's awesome.
Right? I used to be that kid. I used to be that kid in class, and they were like, your daughter's really smart, but she talks all the time. And now I'm like, ha, yeah. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
So don't let anybody tell you you're not going to do what you can do. So my point is that maybe you just need a new skill set. Like, you can't ignore how you feel around somebody. What they say and what they do doesn't mean anything in regards to how they make you feel. Like, you don't even need words when you're around somebody and you feel a certain thing from them. Like, people don't even have to tell me how they feel about me. I can tell by how their body tells me things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. If you're feeling that way about this girl, dude, you need to figure a way how to communicate to her. And don't feel silly, like, being open with her. Girls love that transparency.
I'm feel so cheesy.
Because you've been conditioned to believe that it's cheesy. It is beautiful to share what's in your heart. It is so beautiful. Like, if you just, she's not going to think you're dumb. She's not going to think you're less of a man or whatever. She's going to be like, wow, he's like super vulnerable with me right now. Because honestly, as a woman in this society, like, it pains me terribly to see a man struggle with his emotions because they're innate. Every human has emotions for a reason. Like, that's your soul, bro. That is not something to be frowned upon. That's your essence. And how horrible that people have lost touch with it because they think it's less gender specific for them to feel. Ugh!
No. Actually, it's totally the opposite. Like, I wrote every morning, I wrote her a long letters, like long text messages.
Okay.
Every night, I wrote her text messages. Actually, I waited nighttime just so I can hurry up, make my text, and make a reminder so that I can automatically text her in the morning time anything that I already said during the nighttime. You know, like, I've told her how I felt before many times.
But have you told her to her face? Or is it only through a phone?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Have you told her with your face to her face?
Yes.
Okay.
But it was more times, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was more times over the phone. But
it's easier that way, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I've told her all this, but even during the breakup, like, I'm going to tell you about the breakup night. On the breakup night, like, it was, like, very emotional. Like, you know, okay, I'm going to sound like a punk right now, but we were both crying. It wasn't just me.
See, you don't sound like a punk. You're a human. You're allowed to have those feelings. You're not a punk.
Yeah,
it's self-talk.
I know, it's just...
Somebody taught this to me, and it is my duty to teach it to you. You gotta watch the way you talk to yourself, because that's how you feel about yourself. I say, LaVon, you're beautiful. LaVon, you're amazing. LaVon, you're a superhero. LaVon, you're a ninja. LaVon, you can do it. Like, I don't say, oh, you're probably gonna fail, or why even try? Because then I will. You know? You gotta change the way you're talking about yourself, because I'm pretty sure you're awesome. We've been talking for a while now, and I would like to empower you in just being aware of how you refer to you as. But go ahead. I'm gonna mute my mic now so I can listen to your story.
No. I'm listening to you. Trust me.
No, I want to hear your story. Go ahead.
Well, as I was saying, it's just, you know, I don't feel like a punk, by the way. I was just saying, like, I don't want to feel like, you know, less masculine if I, you know, but, you know, that's what happened, though. You know, we were both crying and talking, and she was saying basically, you know, that, long story short, all right, I'm just going to put it out there. I was mad at her because she was supposed to have come to my house, and she didn't. And I wasn't led to believe. I thought, you know, assumed that she just basically ditched me. Like, and one thing about, I'm an Aquarius, and if you know anything about an Aquarius, we do not like being lied to. So I thought that she was lying to me because I'm like, you know, we've talked many times, you don't gotta lie, this and that. And it's just, I don't know, like, one of the things I was afraid of was to get cheated on. I've never been cheated on, by the way, but one of the things I was afraid of was to get cheated on. And so, you know, I used to act immature, you know, when I was like 18, you know, 17, was, you know, when I was, when me and her did go up around the first times, I did have a jealousy problem, but I grew from that. You know, I'm older now, so I have no time for that. But, you know, it's like, I really do love her, and I know she really does love me because her friend tells me all the time, like, she really loves you. She drives me crazy because, you know, one minute she wants to call you, and one minute she's saying, no, I'm not going to call him. So I can see she's in denial, you know. I don't know if she's in denial or if she's moving on right now, but I haven't really talked to her for 4 months, but I still feel that love-type connection. So it's like, I don't know if I should leave that alone or should I continue to pursue her. Like, what do you think I should do?
How about this? We went from talking about Baltimore to her. That's how important she is to you. Why would you give that up? You see? She matters a lot, dude. She matters so much to you. You have to tell her. You have to talk to her. And can I tell you a secret? Like, I've been all those people. I've played all the roles in the relationship, dude. I've been the, I don't give a shit what you do, girlfriend. I've been the housewife of the year. I've been the, I'm going to give you a blowjob every 5 minutes, girlfriend. I've been the, don't touch me. What are you doing? You're cheating on me. I've been the jealous girlfriend. Like, I've been every single girlfriend. Like,
yeah.
That. But you have to learn from that. You have to do it to go, that's not me, or I don't like this. Because most of the time, what we're thinking about our partner is actually how we're feeling. Like, if you're projecting something upon them, it's because, like, for me, when I would think my boyfriend was cheating on me, secretly, yeah, I had a crush on somebody, and I was afraid that I would be in a situation with them where I couldn't control my urges. I felt guilty for being attracted to other men, so I projected upon him that he was, without a doubt, going to cheat on me, because deep in my being, I secretly have sexual feelings for someone else, and that must be terrible, so he must be cheating on me, and we're all fucked up, but, excuse me, yeah, no more, no, sorry, that F-bomb just flew out of there. beep, yeah, beep, 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 but my point is that you gotta, I talked about this earlier. You gotta ponder in between the action and the reaction, right? If someone does something, literally what I do now is I imagine taking my soul out of my body. Maybe you gotta visualize this and putting it into their body and trying to experience their experience and go, where are they coming from? You know? We gotta learn to be more empathetic as a society and, like, really stop reacting out of our feelings and really consider the other people, because if we all don't know how, we don't know how to talk to each other. This is why nonviolent communication, a language of life, is so powerful. There's four parts to it, and I listen to them a lot, and I fought it. My stubborn little butt, like, it became apparent to me in December from a dear, dear friend who her and I got into, we had an ill conversation and we ended on a bad terms, and she tried to teach this to me, but I was in the most distraught time of my life. Like, I was literally, like, everything was, you know, everything changed, but that's what I needed. And I needed to see myself in another way. And she showed me, LaVon, yes, you have all these skills, but you're using inherently violent words at times you're not aware of, and you're triggering other people. So here's me, LaVon, communication queen, having a troubled time talking to the ones closest to me. The ones closest to us, the ones we love the most, get our most vulnerable selves, and they get our most human selves. That's why we have the most, like, arguments with the most intimate people closest to us, right? Is because we're super real with them. But oftentimes we're using this language that we've learned, unbeknownst to us, that is inherently violent. And his name, I'll tell you again, it's Marshall B. Rosenberg, just like it sounds. This man's a genius. And I really, really hope that whoever's listening checks it out. Regardless of any type of relationship that you have, it will help you in your ability to understand people. And imagine, oh my God, imagine if all the protesters in Baltimore, hey, that's what we should do. We should have all the protesters in Baltimore listen to nonviolent communication and mind F the police. Literally defuse them with their words. Words are powerful, man. They're so powerful.
That sounds like an idea.
It is an idea. Let's write an article about that. Like, nonviolent communication for Baltimore. Seriously. We could do it.
Well, I mean, anything is possible, like you said. So I would take your word for it.
Okay. For the next 7 minutes, I want to fantasize about what I'm going to create in the next week if I truly spoke a spell of love and manifested myself $127 million. Remember I told you I've been playing the lottery every week?
Yeah.
Well, I bought 2 tickets the other day with $2 that I had won from the previous week, and they felt so good. The tickets felt so good. I literally gave it to my father last night, and I'm like, Dad, you need to hold this because it's too much money to hold. Dad, take it, take it. Dad, take it. I called him on the way here, and I'm like, Dad, do you have the ticket? Dad, do you have it? Is it safe? Like, my dad's a manager at a casino. Like, so he handles millions and millions and millions of dollars. So I'm like, you need to hold this. The drawing happened at, like, 8 o'clock, and I've been sitting in the studio since then, so I don't even know. But I'm positive that I won that money. And you want to know what I'm going to do? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy so many seeds. I'm going to buy so many non-GMO seeds. Like, I'm literally going to buy the entire stock of Baker Creek heirloom seeds. Baker Creek Farm is my favorite. I'm going to buy everything that they have in their warehouse right now. Literally, everything. I'm buying it. And then I'm going to build a garden in anybody's house that wants one in San Diego. Literally. Anybody who wants a garden. Here's the thing, though. I want to utilize all the recycled materials in the city, all the scrap pieces of wood, all the plastic bottles, and if everybody helps me collect them, they will get a garden. You have the materials to build a box. You get to have the seeds. You get to have the anything you need to build the garden as long as we recycle. Does that sound fair?
That sounds awesome.
And then I'm going to take every grocery store. Listen, let me say this one last thing. It's part of my spelling. You're speaking spells. You got to speak them right. I'm going to take every grocery store, and I'm going to get rid of everything that's not healthy, like meaning like a can or a box. Of course.
GMO.
And I would like to take all the food and put it outside. So when people actually go to the grocery store, they're actually going to a garden or a farm, and they're harvesting their own food. And, of course, there will be, like, a conventional aspect as well where the elderly can, you know, there's still going to be this shopping experience, except in the middle of the store where there used to be all that crap, there's going to be massage therapists, acupuncturists, Reiki practitioners, chiropractors, neurofeedback practitioners, reflexology, anything that you can think of that is holistic, nutritionists, there's going to be yoga, like, healing center in every grocery store. Quote-unquote grocery store, it's going to be a wellness center. Because where we go buy our food essentially should be a wellness center. Should it not?
Unless you are not.
Now I feel better. I've already planned it out. What do you think about that?
I believe that is possible if America was not greedy.
If what?
I believe that all that is possible if America was not greedy.
What? I didn't hear the last part still.
If America was not greedy.
Oh, not greedy. Yes. But you know how you get rid of that subproduct? By abolishing the product, right? We already established that. We just got to be smart with our energy. The problem is we're feeding this fear-mongering machine. We've got to defuse them. People need to learn a new way. Nonviolent communication is a new way. It is a tool that it could change everybody's lives. It's changing my life. And I've been studying it for a while, and it's just basic principles based on the way you function, and it's a really profound way to understand how you perceive your experience as a human, and more importantly, how to empathize with your fellow man and recognize where he's coming from and really offer a hand. Like that first article I read that Carrie wrote about the police station in Massachusetts, looking to help peacefully and systematically lead these people towards detox and recovery. That's beautiful, dude. Those people get all the money they need. Those people are my people. Like, I will seriously support that cause, and I will make it my notion to have that program in every city across the United States. Like, that's what I'm going to do with $127 million.
I totally agree with that.
People need to be rehabilitated. They do.
Exactly.
People need more love, and we need to take care of each other as a tribe. We're a human tribe. We're not America. We're not Canada. We're not Mexico. You know what I mean? We're not these segregated aspects. Do you think my liver and my gallbladder go, hey, you're over there, and we have different enzymes, so we can't hang out? No. They work together. You know what I mean? The B cells and the T cells, they're friends.
You know, I agree to a certain extent, because I'm not racist, of course, but to distinguish a certain group of people, I do believe that race is very important. Also, to give credit to what it's due. For example, the you're talking about the universal God and the divide, for example.
Catch us next week. Thank you so much for being with us. That was an awesome program. Uh-huh. Thank you, buddy. Much love to you. Yep. Hey, send me an email. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.